subject of change. Change. C-H-A-N-G-E is right. Huh? No. No. Let's wait. We won't get on that now. Let's see. Lord, help us now. We need a lot of help down here. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are.
Yeah.
Amen. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 7, and begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible said, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Mm-hmm. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What a carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this manner." So I want to try to look tonight at the subject of change. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it, work in our hearts, and help us. And Lord, do what only you can, I pray now. Open up our understanding to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 2008, we had change. That went on for quite a while, you know, on the TVs and all. Well, we want change. We tired of Bush. We want change. We need change. Well, we got change. How you like it? Mm-hmm. Got to change. Well, I'm hoping, you know, in a year, a little less now, we're going to have another change. Amen. And hope we go as far and further to the right as what we've gone to the left. Amen. Change. You know, change sometimes is a good thing. Sometimes change is a bad thing. It's according, you know, what kind of change it is. Change. But anytime anybody that is saved, there's a change. And it's always for the better. I never run across anybody, you know, that said, "Boy, I'm sorry I got saved. I'm sorry the Lord saved me. You know, I'm so sad being a Christian and this and that. I wish I wasn't going to heaven. I wish I could go on to hell," you know. You ever run across anybody like that? I never run across anybody like that. And anybody that's saved, you're not going to run across anybody that's saved that talks like that. So always in salvation, the change that God brings is always for the betterment, always for the good. In him is yea and amen. Now I want to look to this passage we read right here. It deals with change. When you start thinking about change here and what we're and so forth in the Bible, and you start looking at it in the aspect of conversion, then change is associated with repentance. You're not going to have somebody that's truly got repentance and going to remain the same. Matter of fact, repentance, whenever God brings about regeneration and the new birth that happens and so on, and there is conversion there, that repentance, that initial repentance, that doesn't stop. In other words, it might not be that we're not committing the same thing and hoping for mercy, you know, and habitually going on in that. But in this walk that we're in as Christians, initially we repent. And as we walk in this walk of life down here, we realize, you know, I've sinned. I've said something. I've thought something. I've somehow or another act selfishly, whatever you want to call it there, sin. And so therefore then, this repentance goes on for the child of God. Not repenting that we might remain saved, but it's repenting, you know, because of our walk. So our repenting initially then has to do with conversion and that new birth. But that ongoing thing then of repentance has to do not with our standing and so forth, not with our justification, but it's part of our sanctification. Yes, and hope you understand these things in the Bible. You know, it plainly teaches that justification is a one-time thing. Sanctification is an ongoing thing. And that's one of the reasons you know you're saved is by an ongoing work of sanctification in your heart and life. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, but anyway, now, so when you talk about change then, you're describing repentance, because that's what repentance is. It is change. If you got your Bible, can go with me now to several places tonight. First of all, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 21 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 28. And the Bible says here, the Lord said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.'" Yep. Now you see the rebellion there.
Right.
"I will not." It's like my little granddaughter. She'd come over Thanksgiving Day and see, yeah. And I think, let's see, how did that work? No. Okay. Well, I'm trying to think now all this stuff out in my mind, you know, because I'm sort of an organized person. But anyway, they don't have anything, no bearings on you and all. But anyway, so anyway, she came. Now, as that door was pushed him in the swing, then she ran around to the chicken pen looking at the chickens and this and that. I got one hen that's not doing well, so I got her out of there because they all want to peck on it. You know how sometimes they do. And got her in another place. Well, there's a lid on the back of this chicken tractor where you can raise it up and get the egg out and all. And she kept raising it up and letting it down. Of course, when it did, you know, that wood on that plank, it makes a lot of noise and this and that, you know. I said, "Gracie, don't do that." And she'd look at me, you know, and then she did it again. I said, "Now, Gracie, don't do that no more." She raised that thing up and looked at me and dropped it.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You know, what Pop gonna do? Get over here right now. You know, and she promptly obeyed because her mom and daddy's got them trained real good. You know, so we ain't got to do a whole lot, you know. They got them trained real good. They don't promptly obey what they tell them to do. They getting it. Amen. That might be politically incorrect, you know, in the Northeast, but down here in the South, we believe the Bible. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So anyhow, I don't know what kind of sounds and waves might be around, but anyway, you know, repent. That's the message tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
But anyway, and all, and so acted in rebellion there.
Sure.
See, "I will not." Bang. See? So, said there in verse number 30 then, and said, "And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." And then the Lord asked the question in verse number 31, "Whither of them twain, of these two, did the will of his father?" They said unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him." So you see there then how that he went to those two boys and he said to the first one, "Go work today in my vineyard." And he said, "I will not." But something happened to him whereby he changed.
Right.
Change. When there is repentance, there is change.
Yes,
change. Okay? And he said to the second one, he said, "Well, I'm going to go." And he did not obey. And it was asked the question, who did the will of the Father? And of course, you got to say, the first one did. And so therefore, with the parable as it lays out before us here then, you see change. Change. So change is associated with repentance. See the same thing over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." And now notice, "and how ye turned to God from idols." to serve the living and the true God. And then their manner of life, they were waiting for him from heaven to be delivered from wrath and so forth, as they lived out what they believed and were taught and so forth. But you see how it talks about it there, that change is associated with repentance. So evidently when he said they turned from idols, evidently they had been idolaters.
Right.
See?
Right.
So when you think about repentance, you got to think about change. And so some, as we made mention, you know, change is not always for the good. Sometimes it's for the bad.
Right.
And sometimes it is for the good. When you think about God and his salvation work and repentance and change, it is good. Now, number two, repentance begins with God. That's how it gets started, see?
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that God does your repenting for you.
Right.
We're not saying that. But why does anybody want to change from the way they're living to serve God? Now, listen, when you start laying out, and you know, I don't know why we don't do this when we're preaching the gospel and so forth. It's pretty plain in the Bible that when you receive Christ, you're going his way now. You know, we're not attaching Jesus to our life, you know. Where here's, you know, I've made these achievements in life, and oh, I've also tacked on Jesus. Oh, no, When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're willing to be, we are being reprogrammed. And in that reprogramming process, we're willing to do an about face. We're stopped going our way. We're going his way. Which way you want to go, Lord? Well, here's the Bible. So we know some out of that. We're following you and the Word of God. If we run into something we don't really understand, we're still following God and the Word of God. Amen. And so forth. So we're willing to follow him. And when we start making that a part of the gospel message, yeah, going to cut down on numbers. Okay, if everybody, every preacher were to make that a part of the gospel call, yeah, it would cut down on the numbers, because not everybody is willing to renounce their life, turn from their sins, turn from their lifestyle, and be willing to follow him, get in the yoke with him, and be willing to be his disciple and follow him, see? And we're not tacking him on to our life, but we are changing our life because we're following him, because he's brought about a change, see? So when we think about then that, and so, you know, but that's what happened. If we were to make that a part of our call in the gospel then, because that's what happens when God saves somebody. No matter where they are, how old they are, what they've been in, what they've not been in, when God brings about salvation, brother, he brings about change. And if there'd been no change, there hadn't been no real salvation.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Change.
Yeah.
Now, when I say change, I'm not saying that we become mature.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Whenever I was born 57 years ago, I was a baby. I had to grow up. Okay? I was saved 33 years ago. I had to grow, okay? So I'm not saying that we become immediate, you know, mature in the faith. But, you know, when a baby is born, then the potential is there to grow, amen, because you got a living organism there. And whenever God saves somebody, you got somebody that's got life.
Yeah.
He that hath the Son hath life.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if you got life there, then my friend, you've got some growth. And if there hadn't been any growth, maybe it's because there hadn't been any life. And if there's not really any life, that's the reason there's no real change.
Right.
See?
Right.
Change. So then repentance comes from God. God brings it about in this and that. In the book of Acts chapter number 11, and verse number 18, I'll turn over there and read that one to you. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See? God grants it. So we're saying then, we're talking about, we're looking at change. Change. And when you think about repentance, you've got to think about change. Change. And God is the one who brings this change. If we try to, now, if we take repentance out of the gospel call, we're taking the moral aspect out, see? If we preach reformation without there being a real regeneration,
right,
then that's all you have is reformation.
Right.
Repentance and reformation are not the same thing,
right,
but if there's real genuine change, there's going to be reformation.
Uh-huh.
See, if there's been a new birth, there's a change, then there's going to be reformation. See, repentance then brings about reformation. Reformation in itself is not necessarily a repentance that God has granted.
That's right.
Because a genuine repentance comes from God. Listen, He's the one who started everything. He's the one who's making everything going, so therefore He makes the laws.
Right.
It's His Word. And He told us then that we need to repent. And God commands everywhere, all men, everywhere to repent.
Right.
See? And God is the one who grants that repentance.
Yeah.
See? It's like He told them over there in John chapter number 6, if I can find that right quick. Oh, man, that'd come in good right now. Mm-hmm. John chapter number 6 and verse number 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But they turned and walked no more with Him. And you know why? It's because they did not receive His words.
Right.
Because whenever we receive Him, we're receiving His words. If we reject the words, how are you going to receive Him? See? And so therefore then, God brings about the change, and we change, and we go along with that change, and we want to change. It's not that God, you know, said He's knocking us and slapping us around and kicking us around and said, change, 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 change. Now do it now or I'm going to cut your throat.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess I better go ahead and try to do something. Oh, no, it's not on the outside at all.
Right.
It's all on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, you like T-bone steak? Boy, I like it myself. Amen. You know, you like banana pudding? Boy, I like it myself. Don't you? Homemade ice cream? That's good, ain't it? Do you like okra? Oh, no, I don't want none of that. You like it boiled? I don't want no boiled okra. Well, it goes down good. I mean, slide right on down. I don't like it. You know why? Because of different appetites, see? And whenever God brings about this change, He brings about a change of appetites.
Right.
Amen. Where that the things you once loved and craved and this and that, you don't want them no more. See? Because when God brings about salvation, He brings about change.
Right.
And repentance talks about change, change, change. Yeah. So change is associated with repentance. Repentance begins by God. He's the one who grants it. He's the one who's working inside of us and this and that. And when we are willing to receive what He says about us and respond in the way He tells us to, it's because we're receiving His word and we're receiving Him.
Right.
See, we're not rejecting. I will not. Mm-mm. No, we're receiving Him. We're receiving His word. He's doing the work inside of us. He's changing us on the inside. Well, by now, we have an appetite for God.
Right.
Amen. See, change. Change, change. People talk about, you know, well, now, you know, we need to, we got the New Year's coming up, this and that. What's your New Year's resolution? We need to change and do some things, this and that. Well, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit kicking the dog, or whatever it might be, amen, you know. So, but I tell you, if it's a real salvation, you can't do it on the 1st of January, amen. Only God can do it, and it may be the day after.
Yeah.
Might be the day before.
Right.
Might be a year later, amen? Because this thing comes about by God. Now, what is repentance? Repentance, and here's, I got some things wrote down here. You said, where'd you get them things at? I made them up, okay? Didn't write them out of a book. I'm not against books. I read books. I got a library. I use books, and I enjoyed reading what other people have to say, and it whets my appetite. I see scriptures and things like that. I enter into their thoughts. It helps me in this and that. I use them. But I didn't use any books on this. I just went back to what I believe the Bible teaches. Repentance is something God works in you.
Right.
It's a change of nature, a change of heart,
yep,
a change of mind,
yep,
a change of will, which causes a change in action. So when you start talking about repentance and what it is, brother, you ain't talking about nothing but a change. 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 If you take the Strong's Concordance and look up the word repentance, and I'm not sure in every place that you repenting, I'm not sure if it's the same definition in all of those different places, but it'll say change of mind. And it is. It is a change of mind. And it's just like these things I read right here. But it's on the inside. It is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of will, and a change of nature, see? And something happens inside of you whereby you start changing.
Right.
It's on the inside. They tell us, you know, pimples. You know, I guess teenagers, you know, do you have them? Whenever I was a kid, I had them here and there in different places. And they said, well, you know, pimples are a result of eating too much peanut butter. Well, I like peanut butter, you know, still do. If I can't get something else to eat at the house, I go in there and start looking for peanut butter and crackers, okay? You know, chocolate. They said, well, it's a result of eating chocolate, you know. Pimples are a result of eating chocolate. Well, I like chocolate. You like it? Dark chocolate's okay. I like milk chocolate better, you know, but whatever. And they said, well, you know, pimples are a result of things that you eat. Well, I'm going to tell you something other. If that's true, then what you're putting on inside of you is coming out in the pimples, they say. Salvation and this change that God brings about, repentance, is on the inside. But it ain't going to be exclusively a change of mind.
Right.
It's going to be a change of heart.
That's right.
A change of emotion.
Yes, sir.
Going to be a change. In other words, it's like I said before, you're going this way with the devil, and God brings about the new birth, and you turn and start going this way with God. Why? You had a change of mind. You had a change of heart. You had a change of will. And it all brought about a change in your feet and in your hands and in your eyesight. So when God saves somebody, whatever, if they are a habitual sinner, I don't care what they're in. Talk about pornography, drugs, alcohol, you name anything you want. Sodomy, you spit it out there. I don't care what it is. If it is sinning against God, then when God brings about this change, you're going to turn. And now, I'm not to say that you might not have some struggles with that, okay? And God do anything he wants to do with anybody he wants to do. And with some people, when he saves them, they change, I mean, just like that. And their actions change just like that. Others struggle with things and this and that. You say, well, maybe they really didn't. Well, maybe they didn't. I tell you right now, I'd be the first to admit, you know, you say, Brother Al, who you think saved in here? The only one that I know of is the one you're looking at.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, you know, Brother Pascal is, but I don't know that for sure.
Right.
Okay, see? And so I wouldn't tell you, but sometimes I tell my wife, sometimes wonder about myself, amen, you know? Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell you, was it? You say, do you really want, I said, well, you know what I mean, don't you? Those of you that are saved, you know, Brother Al sitting around, wonder if he's really saved or not? No, you know? But anyhow, so anyway, all right? So, but anyway, God brings about this change, and with some as much as daylight and dark, they change their outward things, start changing immediately, and they don't have any struggles, and other people have struggled with things. And I'm going to tell you, addictions, you talk about, there's some drugs that people get on. It's only God can get them off of it, and it's only God can keep them off of it. Amen. They're so, get so addicted to that stuff. And you'd be amazed what you can get addicted to. These people, this guy that was one of the spokesmen for that, what was it? Subway, was that what it was?
Subway, yeah.
And all that pornography.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, now, so what do you think about child molestation? Well, if it's just between me and you men folk, when we get over here, I tell you what we think we need to do about that, amen? But I ain't saying it in
amen.
Here, amen?
Amen.
It's So anyhow, you know, I got in trouble one time with some of them inmates that weren't in prison, and I didn't know it, but that particular prison had a lot of them pedophiles in it, and I didn't know it, and I went ahead and told them, amen, because it's all men. I got a letter in the mail from one of them inmates about that. You know, so anyhow, I guess maybe we need to keep some things hush, hush. But anyway, you know, by all minds, Teddy, when we get over there, me and Brother who?
Brother Ray.
Okay. All right. But that burning building and that nailing and knife and all. But anyway, let that be as it may now. Maybe need to get a drink of water. But anyhow, and so now, and so in the Word of God, then God brings about this change. And what is this repentance? It is change. It's in. It is a change of mind. It is a change of heart, a change of will, a change of direction, a change of lifestyle. See? Now, if you begin that lifestyle change, and listen, don't read no more into this than what I'm trying to say now, and don't take anything from it that I'm not trying to say, but if you're changing without repentance, that's not going to wind up you being saved, because God sees some merit in that. Okay, although if you're acting irresponsible as a citizen, you need to straighten up and do better.
Amen.
As a parent, As a son or daughter, as a neighbor or a worker, employee, employer, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're acting irresponsible, then straighten up and do right.
Right.
You know the old saying, straighten up and fly right. I like to put it this way, turn right and go straight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so repentance then, what is it? It's change of heart, change of mind, change of will. Change of direction. So it begins on the inside, but it don't stay that way.
Right.
It's like saying, no, you're a Christian, well, you're on the thing, you know. Oh, no. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because if you're really saved, you're going to confess it with your mouth. How can you keep it quiet? Amen. You know, can't. If you take, you take a candle, put a bushel basket over it, then what's going to happen? It's going to burn it up or put it out.
That's right.
Amen? You're either going to burn it up or put it out. So if you got a light, don't put nothing over it. Praise God, let it out.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people that say in their invitation, when they give an invitation, now if God's done a work in your heart and you need to respond, now's the time to make it public.
Yeah.
Amen? God done a work in your heart.
That's right.
And you want to make it public. Now is the time to make it public. And who better to make it public to than the ones that can understand what you're talking about? It's like, who was it said, oh, his brother run over to the neighbor's house and said, I'm saved. And the lady said, well, that's good. Brother Charles Shipman. And you would have come up here, one of you folks, and you got saved. You said, I'm saved. I said, glory, hallelujah, amen. Now, you go over here to the next door neighbor and do that, and they may say, you are? That's good. You know why? Because they can't associate with that. So what better place to make it public, amen, and all. So if there's real conversion, if there's real repentance, then there is change. Now, in our text we looked at here tonight, back in the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 7, you're going to see two different types of repentance here. Number one, he said there in verse number 10, in the latter part in particular, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 7, and verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but in contrast, the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Right.
The sorrow of the world worketh death. And here, when he starts talking about repentance, he uses the words in verse number 8, he uses the word sorry two times. Verse number 9, you find the word sorry. You find the word sorrowed. You find the word sorry. And verse number 10, you find the word sorrow. You find it there twice. And then in verse number 11, you find the word sorrowed. So he associate here repentance and so forth and all with something remorse and being sorry for and this and that. Now, first of all, there is a worldly sorrow. A worldly sorrow. And what can we think about when we think about a worldly sorrow? If you got your Bible, can go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 27 and verse number 3. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 3. Then Judas, this is Judas Iscariot. This is the betrayal, okay? Matthew 27 verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed thee innocent blood.
Right.
And they said, but what is that to us? See thou to that. Now, I'm going to read you something that I wrote out of John Gill's commentary on this particular verse. And I don't remember now how much he had to say about it. He can go into quite a lot about a number of things, but I did write this much down in the margin of my Bible. Here's a quote from John Gill. But he being filled with remorse of conscience for that he had done,
right,
feels no quietness in his mind,
right,
nor could he save of what he had desired, but is obliged to return it, not from an honest principle, as in the case of true repentance, but on account of a racking, tormenting conscience. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, now Judas Iscariot, you say he wouldn't ever saved. Bible said that he repented. It does. We read it to you right there. You say, well, if it said he repented, don't you think he's in heaven? No, I don't think he's in heaven.
Nope.
Well, how come you don't think he's in heaven? Well, in the first place, because he was a son of perdition. And the Lord said he went to his own place,
right,
okay, and all. So I don't think Judas, you say, well, he was a disciple. Yeah, but not every disciple was truly saved.
Right.
We read this morning, many of his disciples turned and walked no more with him.
Right.
And then, not only that, you say, well, he was an apostle. True, he was an apostle, but evidently he was never really saved. And you can go into all the philosophy you want to go into about why the Lord had him and used him and this and that, and he had the money and this and so on, and we can philosophize or give our opinions. That's what philosophy is, based on, you know, what we think the facts are. We can philosophize all we want to, but fact remains, I believe, from my view of the Word of God, only as a student, and that's all I am. But where I am in my studies of the Word of God, I don't think he ever was saved. I don't think he got it and lost it. I don't think he ever had it.
No.
And when the Bible said that he repented, I don't think he repented with a godly sorrow. I think he had a worldly sorrow. And that's the reason I read to you that quote there, that even though he returned it, not because he wanted to be honest, but because he wanted to try to get the guilt off of him, and he caught the racking torment of his conscience, see? And so therefore then, when he couldn't get the guilt off, when he couldn't get any forgiveness for even returning the money, what did he do? He went out and he hanged himself, okay? You know? And so therefore then, so do you think, now, whenever God saved you, you want to go out and commit suicide? Brother, you is different, you know, like we talked about this morning, amen. You know, is this, Brother Al, is this here? He's 63 years old. He said, Brother Al, is it going to leave? Amen, you know. And if I thought about the time, I'd say, well, if you don't want it to, amen. And you know what he was saying, no, I don't want it to. Well, treasure it, amen. And you think he wanted to die? Well, you know, Brother Al, I'm saved now, so I get this good feeling in here. I think I just want to go ahead and shoot myself.
No.
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 So, amen. So therefore, do you think this man repented genuinely and that caused him to go out and hang himself? No, sir. He did not have a godly sorrow. He had, as the Bible calls, a worldly sorrow. See? And you can associate this way. Now, when I was out running around living like the devil, there's a narc went around. And he started buying up dope from us and this and that. You know, some of us was only users, some of us sold and this and that. I sold dope because I could always have some to be able to get high on. And I didn't, you know, because if I was buying it, I was selling it, and I always had some. So that's my motive for doing it. I was an honest drug addict because I worked. Amen.
Yeah.
I wasn't breaking in houses stealing stuff. I was working a job. Amen. I just like to get high and this and that. So I just dealt for that. But a narc come around, he started buying things up, you know, people. Well, he turned us all in. Well, one of them guys, you know, he said, well, so he went and started going to Camelot Church. It could have been any church. But anyway, that's where he went to. And when he come to the, when he come to that day, to the courthouse and all, he'd had a haircut, you know. He didn't have that there leather Harley cap on. Didn't have that long chain billfold and things like that and all. He had him a suit and tie on. And he got probation.
Yeah.
Back on the street, he goes living like the devil with probation.
Uh-huh.
So we get, you know, we get sentenced and get put in the county jail as state inmates. Okay, you know. And it might have been a little something more under the table other than that, you know. And the old saying was, whenever we was locked up, whenever money talks, people walk. Uh-huh. Amen. And he might have had somebody has some pull for him. I don't know. But anyhow, and so, and the reason I said that is because, you know, sometimes people, they might say, well, you know, my wife's left me, you know, and so the house is cold and I got nothing to eat and this and that, and I need to get my wife back, and it's just drinking. So I'll go, I know she's down at the church, I'll go down there and I'll go down front and I'll do what I'm supposed to do, you know, and she'll come back home. Now, you think he's really tired of his drinking? No, he's tired of being alone, okay? He's wanting her back for a selfish motive, see? So you think, even though he comes down to, he goes to a church. Let's say he come to this church or another Bible preaching church. He came down front, you know, raised his hand maybe in the, you know, of course I don't call for people to do that and all. I don't guess nothing necessarily wrong with it occasionally. But anyway, let that be his man. He goes through all that, comes down front, you know, makes profession of faith, and it's never really genuine. So even though it looks like it is, God knows that it's not, and therefore you can classify that. If you want to term that something, you could call that worldly sorrow, a false profession of faith, okay? So back there in the book of Corinthians in chapter number 7, when he talks about this worldly sorrow, that's how you can associate that. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, salvation. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. See? Because when he talks about repentance here, in this, he talks about sorrow. See? And I'm saying that if there's real, genuine repentance, there is change.
Amen.
And if there's real, genuine repentance, then there's something going on in the inside, and you're not only sorry for what you've been doing against God, but you're sorry for what you are.
Right.
And I'm not saying that you got to necessarily know all of that and have all of that down. Now, see, have I got the right kind of mixture? Am I really sorry for this? No, but I am saying this, it's going to be there.
Amen.
That it's the same way about lordship salvation.
Amen.
I mean, if you never heard the term, but yet all those ingredients, if we want to use that term, if that principle is there, if that understanding is there that I'm coming to Christ, I'm coming clean to Him for what I am, I'm willing to repent and receive Christ, you tell me whatever you want to tell me, call me whatever you want to call me, Lord, I just need you to save me, and if you don't save me, save me now, I'm sunk, I'm gone, and Lord, I'm willing to follow you. So you can put all of that inside of there and not know all of those terms. But the kind of salvation God brings about, it's going to be there, see? And it's not going to be just a sorrow for what we've been doing, see?
Yeah.
But it's a sorrow for what I am, and therefore we won't change. And it's not that we won't change for to have a better environment, but we want God.
Amen.
God's a-wanting you,
amen,
see? And you know He's a-wanting you,
yeah,
see? Like, you know, going out, y'all get out and run after each other and so forth. Now, you it, y'all still do that? That's antique. You do it, don't you? Okay, so it ain't so antique, amen. How old are you, Josiah? 8. Ain't very antique then, is it, amen? Okay, but so, you know, and as they start running after you and so forth, you know they after you. And listen, if God won't save you, he's on your trail. You know he's after you. And a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner ain't got much problem getting together. Amen?
Right.
So God gets on your trail, gets to hunting you up, looking for you, and you get to hunting for him, looking for him, my friend. And therefore, God brings about, and you're sorry for what you are, what you've done, and this, that. I come real close to preaching tonight a message on the subject of hail. And I'd been, the first thing I would have said about it, I'm not trying to spook anybody to get saved. I'm just preaching this. Because I can't make it so awful that you'd say, oh, you know, I don't want to go to that place. What's the alternative? Well, do you really want the alternative? Well, what do you mean by that? Are you willing to repent? Well, how far do you want me to go? Oh, okay. So you're not willing to go, well, no, I ain't really ready for what all this radical stuff you're talking about. Okay, well, so, but the fact of the matter is, if God's dealing with you and you know you're going to hell, do you want to go there? Amen? It's not, now people say, well, you know, and I'm not down on preaching on hell or for hell or against hell, and I'm not against trying to spook people. No, that's not a good way to put that, is I ain't. Well, scratch all that stuff. I'll just say this, that element is there, that you don't want to go to hell, but it's not that you want him because you don't want to go to hell. But then again, it could be, who knows, God deals with different people different ways. I have heard some people say, and I listen, are they really saved? You tell me. Okay, I don't know about one, okay? That's the one you're looking at. But to say they're saved, they've been living that way and hadn't changed since they've been saved and been constantly growing. And I have heard people say that I heard a message on hell and God got me under conviction and I didn't want to go to hell and God saved me and they've been consistent ever since. Now, I don't know whether they're truly going to make it or not, but the way they're living, there's a good chance of it, and they hadn't, you know, and this and that, and it wasn't any kind of easy believism stuff and this and that. It was conviction and so on. But, so God gets to working in that sinner's heart and the hell comes up, that remorse, that response, that sorrow, that wanting God, that wanting to turn away, all that struggle. You know God wants you, the devil wants you. He's trickling in your mind, trying to get you turned from God, and God's wooing you, working. All that struggling going on. You ever been through all that?
Right.
All that struggling like that going on.
Amen.
And then with these other things, well, I've made this profession, I've made that, and then we got all, and what people going to think, and what's all, then all this stuff, see. But the fact of the matter is, when God does a work in a sinner's heart, there is change.
Right.
And so therefore, whenever you repent of what you know. And when God starts bringing other things up, you repent of that because you still want to go with God, see? Change,
right.
Remorse, sorrow. A worldly sorrow worketh death.
Right.
That's what it did to Judas Iscariot. He died. But a godly, notice now, the other part, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Not to be repented of. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, I'm sorry I got saved. That's stupid.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I hadn't been sorry. The Lord saved me. That's crazy. Amen? You've been sorry the Lord saved you, Sister Cheryl? Amen. So, but godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation,
right,
not to be repented of.
Yeah.
See? So therefore, what is this thing of repentance? It's a change of mind, it's a change of heart, it's a change of will, change of direction. And there's a godly sorrow, which is genuine. There's a worldly sorrow. Just because we got caught, just because we don't want the alternative,
right,
whatever it might be, and it's not something that's genuine, doesn't bring about a change.
Right.
If it's genuine, there's going to be a change. There is a godly sorrow. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 20. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 20. And the Bible says, and how, this is the Apostle Paul, talking to these Ephesian elders here, and he says in verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So he could have said whosoever. He could have said the world. But he clarified Jews and Greeks this. And here's what was profitable. The profitable things were, number one, repentance toward God. Number two, and I'm not saying one, and what comes first? Well, I'm not saying that. But repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, meaning I've sinned against you. I'm tired of my sinning against you. I don't want to sin against you. Lord, I'm guilty. Forgive me. Repentance. In other words, you're getting right with God. Okay? Ever heard that old term? You need to get right with God. Okay? There's some words the Bible uses for that. It's called repentance toward God, which is a godly sorrow, which worketh repentance not to be repented of. For it's a repentance toward God, see? So therefore, if it's real, we are ashamed before God of what we are, and how do we know what we are other than God revealing to us what we are, and then so it's repentance toward God. We're getting right with God. And when that happens, brother, you got some changing. Some changing. Amen. Have you been changed? Has the Lord changed you? See? So if you're really born again, you've been changed. If you're not saved, when God brings about the new birth, they're going to be changed. Okay? Change. And God's the one who brings about that change. We can't bring about that change. Although we can go along with Him, and if we're acting irresponsible, we know we should be doing something that we're not doing, and we need to, you know, you can call it get right with God or whatever you want to call it. If we're acting irresponsible, then we need to act responsibly, see? But the fact of the matter, whenever God brings about salvation, He brings about change. Change can be good. Change can be bad. When change that God brings about in salvation, it's always yea and amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, You'd work in each heart as only You can. And Lord, I pray that You'd bring about change. We thank You, Lord, for the change that You have brought about. 33 years ago, You brought about a drastic change in my heart and life and a change of direction. Hadn't been the same since. And now, Lord, I'm looking for more changes. And that, Lord, which would be positive and good for Your and for Your glory. And Lord, I pray that You'd help now and work in each heart and life as only You can. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name, amen. So our sister, please, if you need to respond to the Lord, you do that.